I suppose my opening question to you has to be, how do you top what you did just a couple of months back in Rio now? And that must be the big challenge for the next four-year cycle.
By out-learning the opposition, by being more nimble, not being complacent about what we achieved in Rio, banking our advantages and looking to where there are some opportunities for the future. So yeah, all of those things are basically being more effective and efficient and being leaner, more directive. All those strategies are the ones that are going to make us even better in Tokyo.
And how much of a surprise to you was it overall to see what we produced in Rio, both Olympics and Paralympics?
Surprise. That's a difficult one. Was it a surprise? No, it wasn't a surprise, as in, oh my God, that was a real surprise. No, we always knew that it was achievable, all right? But we always knew, because the nature of sport, you never quite know, do you? So, yes, it came good, and it was pretty apparent early on. And we had some good intel just a few weeks before the games. The training camps were going really well. The times and of those sports where that's relevant were looking good. And as you get a mood in the camp, and you thought, do you know, this could be on. It probably is going to be on. So was it a surprise? No.
Was that much of that down to the London effect? Had we not had London 2012, would it have been as successful?
Probably not. I mean, we received an uplift in funding towards London from the government, which was a major step. And certainly the interest of both the British public, the politicians and the media in high-performance Olympic and Paralympic sport was raised at that time. So, yeah, the London effect on that, on our journey shouldn't be underestimated. It was very significant.
So here we go, another four-year cycle, but with probably less money coming into the pot from lottery funding. So how do you go about squaring that circle?
Well, to be clear, we've got a government underwrite, which will mean approximately the same amount of money coming in as the last circle. By being more effective and efficient is the honest answer. So we've challenged all our sports. Don't forget that they have the ability to raise additional funds into, as well as the public and lottery funds into that. But that's the clear answer. By banking what we've already done and being more effective and efficient and swapping and outlearning the opposition.
All right, so when you evaluate who gets what over the next 4 years, how big a job and how difficult a job is that to do?
It's a very, very big job. It started a year ago and with a forensic analysis a budgeting process, starting from, as it were, zero for each sport and then working up with them through a series of processes that wasn't entirely dependent on the results they got at Rio. If they got the results that they expected at Rio, it was a fairly short conversation afterwards. If they didn't, if they either exceeded or underperformed at Rio, then there was another forensic analysis after which we made a decision last Wednesday.
When it comes to the carrot and stick approach, where do you stand on that? Is it when sports might have failed, and very few of them did in Rio, do you have to give them a G up, or is it a case of you have to go and fend for yourself?
No, that's a carrot and stick. I think it's kind of a bit of I'd characterise it a bit of a tough love approach rather than a carrot and stick approach. It's just not only about how did they perform on the day. That is a major factor, obviously. I mean, you can't have a serial underachievers when it comes to the big moment. But sport is sport, so you have to look rather deeper at that, and you have to look forward. What actually, was this a one-off disappointment? Or is this sport serial underperformer? And is the trend going the wrong way? Who have they got on their books, name by name, person by person, that can deliver or maybe not in Tokyo? And that's the basis that we make these decisions rather than on the crude, although they just missed out in the penalty shootout or whatever it was. Not that they did, by the way. And then make an instant snap decision on that.
It's interesting. I'm kind of thinking of swimming in particular, because they had a particularly poor 2012, and they were kind of told to go and get their act together. Yes. And 2016, they did perform, but you cut their funding in those 4 years.
Well, They agreed with us that to have a more focused squad with a smaller number of athletes and put a greater input into that smaller number was effective. So if you actually look at the sort of cost per athlete, it was approximately the same, but there were less athletes, and that worked. And you clearly see the results of that. So you can't just look at that in broad overarching monetary terms. You've actually got to look at the strategies that sometimes can mean we actually spend a few more money and sometimes less.
Do you also look at how easy it is within a sport to win a medal? Now, some people say it's much harder to win in track and field and swimming than perhaps it is in rowing, and rowing is getting about 10% of your funding.
We try not to get too into subjective judgments about popularity, cost per medal, and how the difficulty or whatever. All Olympic gold medals are very, very difficult to win. Yes, some may be. It may be some people's opinion. Some are more difficult than others. But if we've got athletes in there who we think can get in the medal zone, we will support them.
Coming to the Paralympic Games, wheelchair tennis is a good example here. Yeah. That it's one that picked up 6 medals, yeah, way beyond their expectations. Yeah. Yet you're not, at the moment, going to be funding them for Tokyo.
We don't fund, at the moment, we don't fund any of the sports that can stand on their own to meet financially. Bit golf, VI football, rugby sevens. And we believe that the wheelchair tennis, which are a branch of tennis and closely affiliated with tennis, have the ability to be resourced from other sources. So there's no way we're just casting them adrift. We haven't made a decision on that at the moment, and we're in deep discussions with both the Lawn Tennis Association and Wheelchair Tennis to see, rest assured, there will be a wheelchair tennis program going into Tokyo.
Okay, the big question outside of UK sport right now is the Russian question. Do you have anything to say about that? Do you think that we actually are not playing on a level playing field with them?
Well, first thing to say is I'm totally shocked by the revelations this morning. I find it hard to come to terms with the scale of what's alleged and has been going on. I'm struggling to get any perspective on that at this moment in time, except to say, but what we shouldn't do, we've got to support the clean athletes. And we believe that our athletes are clean, and there are majority of athletes in the world are clean. And so it's deeply disappointing that this has happened in Russia. They should be brought to book about it. They have been already, and we'll wait and see what happens over the next few months. But we believe our athletes, and what we shouldn't do is have a knee-jerk reaction that mortally affects their future competition.